Thank you very much. It's great to be here. It's awesome to be here. I just want to thank God for, first of all, Him. We love Jesus. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do in Christ Jesus." So I want to say that everyone is a workmanship. We all are on a journey to become more and more and more like Jesus. And me and Maureen are on a journey. We have been on a journey for many years. We've been leading for 27. We've been part of a team that works into nations for well over 20-something years. We have two boys that we love very, very much and that have done us good, done us proud, and done the Lord proud. We enjoy planting churches and releasing people, raising leaders and releasing them. I'm being American now possibly, but we've had the privilege and still have the privilege of leading hundreds of churches in many nations, in Africa as well as outside of Africa. Now, I'm not drawing that attention to me. What I am doing is say along the journey, we've had some tough days. We've had some tough times. Me and Maureen today are married 34 years. It's our wedding anniversary today. But I also want to say that the journey has not always been good, even in the ministry. I never ever thought of divorce, but murder a few times. No, I haven't. I'm only joking. But certainly along the journey, and I want to share just a testimony, because I'm going to be speaking today on how to be a follower and a leader. Because if we don't know how to follow, we'll never lead properly. If me and Maureen and all that... And for a moment, we just do those things under God. And God's opening many, many more doors across the nations. Europe's opening. Australia's opening. The East is opening. For us to go in there and minister effectively. But if we are not prepared to follow, if we are not prepared to be followers of Jesus and followers of men, we will not succeed in our journey. Because at some point, the proud will fall. And we choose to be humble in these things. Before Stephen Karen, I think even on our eldership, and they were in eldership for, I think, 7 years in Johannesburg with us, there was a 2-year period in my life where, because of never taking leave and not watching myself and not being careful of listening to counsel, but always thinking that I'm God, actually in the nation, said, "Man, look what I'm doing." And a proud came in. And I'm not saying God did anything, what I'm going to tell you now, but I think things happen for God to work with so that I can be a better follower. And during that time, I was playing squash. That's a game, you know, squash? In Steve's squash court that they owned in Johannesburg. And after playing squash, I picked up my bag, just about 3 kilograms. And I picked that up and I heard two sounds in my back. Quah, quah. You know, it was hectic sound. Well, I had to go into hospital. To cut a long story short, I had to go in for an operation. And 3 specialists had a look at it and said, "If they don't operate, I'll never walk again." So I went in and had an operation. But what happened after the operation, because I did not take care of my life before that as I should have, and I want to tell you, friends, our life is so precious to Jesus. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to look after ourselves physically. I want to say to young men, you know, I was one of those young men, and in South Africa we got a pioneering spirit. So we just want to go and take things and take nations and that's in our heart, you know, and we want to run ahead. And I know what it's like running ahead of God. And so I came out of the hospital and post-traumatic stress hit me and trauma hit me. And I started going on the back foot. not being able to cope. And the elders of the church gathered around for 2 years to make sure that me and Maureen were being looked after and taken. I'd prepare a message for a Sunday morning and get there and not be able to share the message. Now, I told you what responsibilities I had. I had nations to run, I had church to run, but I could not do anything because I was not prepared to listen to God in the years before. Now, God's mercy is new every day. What happened in those 2 years, then for me to cope, I started having alcohol. Now, I'm vulnerable, yeah? I'm not doing that anymore for the many, many years because Steve would never allow me to do it in any case if I did. But for a 2 year period, I then started taking prescription medicine just to cope with life. Eventually, I went to a Christian psychologist that made me do puzzles, you know, putting puzzles together, making model airplanes just to focus again. But in the meantime, I was still going to the nation, still preaching, because the mercy of God can carry us so far. And during that period, this lady stood with me. She's team. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the best team we can ever learn from. Same heart, same unity, together one purpose. And you know, their purpose is me and you. And so, I don't know, love you. In that period, just come tell us how you followed and how you play team.
Well, murder was harm. You know, when that happened with Kenny, we were at the peak of our ministry. We were traveling into the nations. We had led a successful church in the coast and had moved up to Johannesburg in South Africa, taken over that church, and things were going well. With the gifting that I have, I was standing alongside Kenny. I was preaching. I was teaching. I was doing conferences. My prophetic gift was exploding, and we were at our peak. And he went into surgery. And also along that time, we had people around us, our eldership team, the team that we relate with as well. And they were advising Kenny to just take some leave. We needed to have some break. But I say we because we were not prepared to listen to counsel at that time. And that was such a major lesson for us. We do not stand alone. We stand as team. That's why God places people in our lives. And so he went in for the surgery, came up with post-anesthetic stress, could not focus on anything. The psychologist was giving him puzzles he had to do. He had to build model airplanes just to try and get his focus back again. Steve, do you want to just... So suddenly he was not able to give vision. Suddenly the man I married did not exist anymore. Suddenly he was a different person. He was having volatile mood swings, and he just was not the man that I decided to spend the rest of my life with. And the elders, we were very vulnerable with the elders when it happened. And they realized where Kenny was at. We were open with them. We were walking. At that stage, we had called in one or two other guys that we were walking into in relationship with that were on team. And just to see how we're going to handle this. And I came before God and said, God, what now? Kenny's not giving vision in the church. The elders were rallying around him and protecting him so that the congregation members saw us operating as team. So they did not, three quarters of them were not even aware of what was happening in Kenny's and our life. That is how well the team just rallied around us. And I came before God and I said, God, what about me? I had a ministry as well. I was also preaching and teaching. Now he's not doing it. What do I do? And you know, I was sitting in the presence of the Lord the one morning, and I was crying, and I said, God, this is not fair. What is going to happen now? Must my life come to a stop because my husband's not performing the way he should be performing? And God immediately dropped into my spirit, look at the word submit. So I went and I did a study. I went back to where, if we're wanting to know God's heart on an issue in the word of God, we have to go back to the first mention principle. Where was it first mentioned? Because where it's first mentioned will show you what God first intended for it, whatever the subject is in the word. So I went back to see, well, what did he do with woman? So I went back to where God created us and created us as a helpmeet, and that whole story in Genesis, and discovered that the meaning for the word submit is adapt to your ordained authority, adapt to your headship. So God was saying to me, because my head was not performing the way he should, I had to adapt to it. And at that time, the pressure of the people were coming up against us for me to rise up and do the preaching, do the teaching, do the leading, because I was gifted to be able to do it. But as a helpmeet, the way God first created me, I had no spiritual authority to do that because it belonged to a headship and I wasn't a head. So I had to submit. I had to take a step back and adapt myself to Kenny's headship at that moment. So I did no preaching. I did no teaching. I did nothing in those 2 years that he wasn't performing as a head. That's team. That's team. God showed us such a powerful lesson in this whole thing of what submission means, where it is simply adapting to your headship. If the head is not if the head is not operating the way it should, submission is adapt to it. I'm not talking about unbiblical stuff. Kenny wasn't being unbiblical. He was going through a life event. Yeah, but I mean, it was a life event. It was not Kenny. He wasn't like that. It was a life event that had thrown a swipe at us for us to learn lessons. And we learned we need to walk in accountability. We need to walk in counsel. So from that point onwards, when Kenny came through his 2 years, God miraculously healed him. And instead of having to walk a process of like 5 or 6 years, God healed him miraculously and undid those 2 years and gave him back strength and vigor. But he has to watch himself. And the elders have now learned to identify. When they start seeing symptoms again of Kenny just taking too much on him, they will speak into his life. The difference is he now listens. He now listens because we've learned the lesson. And I want to encourage us as ladies, when we are gifted, and some ladies are more gifted in spiritual gifts than their men, but it does not give us governmental authority. And that was a lesson that I learned. I submit to my headship by adapting to him. So I was there totally to make sure that he gets through this time. And yeah, and when he took his place again, I took my place next to him. And then picked up preaching and teaching and leading with them again as team.
Amen. So that's a little testimony. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35, please. Just as you're turning there, you know, one of our boys also, Justin, when he was in his final year of schooling, he also made the South African water polo team. And, you know, something that we learned there as well was our boy made this national team. And they were going to tour Hungary, Italy, and Greece and play. And they were in a boarding school. So he phones me on the Monday and said, Dad, I made the team, you know, like all happy. And then the next thing he says to me, but this Saturday I'm playing my first game for the South African team. And they were playing a Hungary team in South Africa. So he phones me on the Monday And as he said, we're playing this Saturday, I was leaving that Thursday to go to Zimbabwe to do ministry. And you must know everything in me just, I'm not going to see my boy putting on his national South African colors to play against another nation. So I didn't have the heart to tell him then. I phoned him a little later and I said, my boy, I'm not going to be able to be there because I want to go. I'm going to Zimbabwe. But if it means so much for you that I should be there, I'll cancel, you know, in the last minute. So he just said, thanks very much, Dad. And the phone went down. And me and Maureen just started weeping, you know. And on the Wednesday of that week, my boy phoned. And he said, Dad, I've been giving it some thought. You are always there for me and my brother. And you, Timothy, and you will lay everything down for us as children. We're going to lay down you coming to watch me in my first international sport. And you go to Zimbabwe, but promise me you'll get some people saved and healed. And you know, for me, that's team. You know, that we're prepared to lay down our lives for our partners and for our team members, so that the kingdom can be advanced. And you're in Exodus 35. And I want to talk this morning on being a good follower and a good leader. And it says in verse 30, then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God and with skill and ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and to set stones, to work in wood and engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he has given both him and Oholiab, the son of Ahashmash, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, and all of them master craftsmen and designers. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out the work of the construction, the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord had commanded. And then let's go down to verse 4 of chapter 36. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work in the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work of the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so many people were restrained from bringing more because they already had was more than enough to do the work. I want to tell you that when we're building the church Jesus way, there will always be more than enough. We have supported Brendan, supported Steve, supported other guys that went to France and planted there. But I want to tell you that God is a God of more than enough. We want to ask this morning, even in this church, have a heart of more than enough to serve the purposes of God. And it's not only about money, it's about serving your gift. Building the church should be happy, exciting, full of artistic creations, the beauty of the Lord seen. It should never be boring and bland. And I want to tell people in Canada that your teeth are not just for eating, it's for smiling. Church should be a happy place. Family should be a happy place. Because the church that Jesus is building is not boring and bland. It's colorful. It's one church, many colors. Joseph coat, many colors, but one coat. One Jesus, one Spirit, one God, but creative in all of its design. In every church, there's talents, there's worship, there's gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's craftsmanship, there's meals, there's fun, there's dance, there's headbutting the wall, there's jumping, there's children running around. Excitement of a king whose kingdom is creative. When God started the world, God created the world. He is still creating in us the ability to do church with fun and with laughter, with sincerity and with joy. Because where the Holy Spirit is, there's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Are we building the church Jesus is building? Some of what we do is scientific, and it's so structural. It's 10 points for this, 10 points for that. But I want to tell you, within those 10 points, which are not wrong, just be creative. Just be creative. Don't let structure and science determine how you build. Let the creativity of God and the gifting of God, let that determine how you build. Not only church, business, family, how you bring your children up. Let it be creative. Let it be team. Let every gift, every talent, every craftsman. Bezalel was a business person. That scripture we read. And Bezalel was the first man in the Bible, as you read it from Genesis through, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't an apostle. It wasn't a pastor. It was a businessman. The kingdom of God is about business people, about husband, wife, children, everybody valuable to the king and his kingdom. Everyone. Every activity for the king and the kingdom. Every business. If you're a businessman, your business is for the king and the kingdom. It's to help us finance Steve and Karen there. Amen. Unashamedly. Your tithes and offerings should help us. And I'm not begging. When we build Jesus' way, it's more than enough. And we'll have more than enough. But why can't you as a church plant people out with the more than enough that you've got? Why can't you establish business people with the more than enough that you've got for the sake of the king and the kingdom? Amen. This is cool. I'm enjoying it already. And I haven't even started. Sorry, love. That's dangerous. You must submit still, eh? Just because I'm better, don't mean you can't submit now. Flip. Like, don't make it awkward here in front of another church. Jeez. Hey, Steve, you'll have to talk to her again, eh? Jesus is building the church and pushing back the gates of hell. I do not believe that we draw a line in the ground and say, that's enough. You know what I mean? Drawing a line in the ground and say, devil, you're not going to come past that. I have enough authority in Jesus to actually say, get back, get back, get back. I do not draw in a line. I do not deal with the devil. I push him back. Because the authority of Christ that comes from the throne of God puts a power inside of us. God, the living God living in us. How dare the strategies of the enemy hold us back? How dare sickness hold us back? And that's why we started it. Not to come here and put something on you that we haven't walked through. We had to learn some lessons to understand the authority we have in Jesus Christ. But also to know that in our difficulties, God never stops loving us. He never stopped loving me when I was getting into alcohol and I was getting into the bad stuff to cope with life. As a pastor, I'm sorry to say. Team, working together. In the scripture, we see that in Exodus 35:30, see. We need to see what God is doing. We need to see the values of the kingdom. We need to understand the values of the kingdom. And then he says, you're chosen. God chose these people. I want to say to every one of you today, you're chosen by the grace of God to do what He's put in your hands. It's not all. The kingdom is all of life, which includes church. Which includes church. But it's what you do in the 6 days of the week. It's what you do there that establishes a kingdom in your life. And then we get to celebrate on a Sunday, and at leaders' times we get to celebrate what God is doing in the week. See, we are chosen by Him. Whatever skill, whatever you're offering, whether gold, silver, bronze, fine linen, goat's hair, olive oil, spices, gems, time, talents, friends, treasure, this is all vital for the kingdom. I saw Carl. I'm so proud of your boy last night. I saw Carl doing the media. He has a young boy taking a talent and a gift and putting up the song so we could worship God. I saw two ladies, they were older in age, in their kitchen, putting out the elements for us to break bread so that we can acknowledge Jesus. Which gift was very important in that case? Those two ladies that spent a long time in that kitchen. Because being older, I think to break those biscuits, you know, I'm getting older, I'm nearly 60. You shake a bit, so it takes longer to break a biscuit than a younger person. You know, they just come in there and chup, chup, you know. But older people like me, you know, we take a little longer to do things, you know. But I want to tell you, God looks. I think when the rewards of heaven are going to be released one day, we're going to be surprised who's going to get the biggest rewards. Not the big names, because when the stars are out, the sun does not shine. But when Jesus is lifted up, there's no stars that shine. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. So you're chosen. You go. A good follower and a good leader. Regularly, the names Bezalel, Uri, and Ur have been mentioned in there. Bezalel means the shadow and protector of God. Bezalel means the shadow and protector of God. Uri, U-R-I, means the Father is my tabernacle. And Ur was from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of praises. So whenever God called in that context of building the tabernacle, and then you can go to 1 Chronicles 29. I'm not going to get there even when they built the temple. Similar words, similar things that was mentioned there. And Jesus building His church, it's still similar. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I believe God says, I'm looking for a people at the Rock Church. A people that will live in the shadow and protection of who I am. And are found in the place of tabernacle in my presence, praising me continuously as everyone takes their gift to help and walk with Jesus building the church. Let it be under the shadow of the Almighty. If you study his life, was an encouraging man. He was able to work on a team. You know, many, many people are on a team, but they can't work with the team. You've got to be on team and work with the team. If Maureen was on my team and didn't work with me, she would have gone ahead and taken a leadership and possibly got hurt. But she was on my team and with my team. And together we saw the problem through. Was also able to lift the leader's arms. Remember when Moses needed his arms lifted? Ur was one of them, and Aaron was the other one. He was able to lift a leader's arms. Maureen was able to lift her leader's arm. I'm just sorry. Was that an emphasis? She was able to she was able to lift my arms and was also able to submit no matter what. He was a submitter because he knew how to adapt himself, not to compete with the leader, but to complete. And marriage is completing the oneness that God wants of a marriage and the oneness God wants in a leadership. Submission is honoring God, not man. See your gift, see your value, see that God's chosen you, and then submit and obey. But then I went to the New Testament, and if you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to take about 15 minutes. So I generally don't preach more than 30 minutes, because I know I start falling asleep at my own preaching, let alone you out there that has to listen. Hey, Stevie, I haven't started this part yet, man. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll pick up on verse 12. I went to the New Testament just as you're looking, and I tried to find somebody that was a good leader and a good follower. And so I've chatted quite a bit on just painting this picture, but Titus was a leader and he was a follower. And when Paul needed a leader to send to the church that was broken down, there was a lot of hassles in it, Paul chose a follower to then become a leader of that particular work. I want to say, when we follow well, God will promote you. And this isn't only in the church, it's in your business as well. If you put your heart and soul in that business, promotion comes of the Lord. Principles are the same as building the tabernacle, same as building the temple that David did, and the same principles as Jesus is building the church. God has not changed in his ways. His ways are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so here in 2 Corinthians, Titus was an encourager. He was a strong leader, a great builder, and a great characteristics to build the church. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. I don't know if you catch that picture. Yeah, God opens the door. And Paul says, I don't want to walk through that door, God. And I don't think he was rebellious. But Paul could not walk through a door if it wasn't team. And if it wasn't somebody with him. So he wasn't rebellious. But funny enough, he picked Titus. He said, if Titus is not with me, God, I can't go through this door. I'm going to find it difficult to walk alone without Titus. So I studied a little bit on why did he not go through a door God opened, because Titus was not with him. So I want to look at a few characteristics of Titus that hopefully will help you to build this church. And to support Mark Moe, Tim and Jolene, and Steve and Karen, to build with Jesus. So it's colorful, it's artistic, it's full of fun, it's full of joy, and that your teeth are not just for eating, but for smiling as well. That's seriously... Oh, there's a Karen here, and she's Karen. Karen. Hey, mit nakseni, so an die mense verstaan ons nie. I'm telling him not to talk Afrikaans because nobody else understands. So first characteristic is found in this verse. And the first one is, when you build, start with family. Because Paul said, my brother Titus is not with me. You see, Paul calls Titus his brother. In a church, I think that the most important pieces of furniture is not this. It's not all the musical instruments. It's not the beauty of a media system. It's not all of that which is very necessary. Not even all of these chairs. For me, what's most important in a church is when you're reclining together and you're having fellowship. And in the fellowship, you're breaking bread. In the fellowship, you're learning things. Because most of Jesus' ministry was done in family. He did teach a 4,000 and he did teach a 5,000. But most of what you read about Jesus is family. And so, yeah, Paul says, I don't want to go through an open door that God has opened because family's not with me. And I want family to be with me. The truth is that we all have the same father. Even that I say my A's a little bit different to you, our dad is the same. Our father is God. And we family. Before we do anything else, before I'm a leader, I'm an apostle, before I'm whatever it is that some see me as, some see me as a pastor, some see me as a pain in the neck. But we all got the same dad. We all got the same dad, the same father. Paul would not walk through this door without his brother. We built together, and every contribution, whether gold or goat's hair, our contribution is valuable to God. I want to say family is valuable. Family is valuable. Our God is still our God. He's not the God. He's not a God. He's our God. He's our Father. And if we can, from the point of departure, is whatever we do for our Father as family. We sons and daughters. We brothers and sisters. Paul noticed this. And the first thing for him was family. All family contributions are important. I was having dinner at Mark and Mo's the other night. And I want to tell you, this young man, Mark, blessed me so much. Because there was a lot of us. And a lot of dishes. And yeah, this man spent, I worked out about 40 minutes washing the dishes. That's family. We ate. We ate stuff we caught with Slade called crab. And how many of you know it makes a mess? That man washed the dishes. That's family. If the dishes was not washed, the meal would not be complete. When every contribution counts and we go to bed at night, Father in heaven is happy. Is that cool? Second point. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 5. Well, when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. How many big preachers nowadays actually preach that they can be harassed at every turn? I'm positive as anything. I don't think I got a negative bone in my body, but I'm some. Jesus said, trouble you will have in this world, but peace you receive. And here it is, a Macedonia had no rest, but harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So the second point in building the church, comfort one another. Comfort one another. I want to tell you, when you're in South Africa and also in Canada, when you drive a long, long way, it is helpful to have a pillow under your... It's helpful. It comforts you on a long journey. And we are on a long journey with God. We are on a journey growing from glory to glory. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. How about in building the church being a comfort to one another? Being a pillow for one another? maybe not for others to sit on because there's some noises. Oh, no. And just a pillow. Just be a pillar of comfort to one another on the journey of God. Sorry, Maureen, I'm behaving. I just break religious spirits. Maureen said she never knew she had religious spirit till she's married to me. But take a pillow. Enjoy the journey. There is enough battles that we are fighting in the world for there to be inward fighting in the church. It's not worth it to fight in the church. I have not got the right with Jesus forgiving me to for 3 seconds to be upset with somebody else ongoingly. Where the love of Jesus just fills our heart. I cannot be upset with Maureen for more than 3 seconds. I upset her a lot because she looks beautiful when she's mad. But friends, build the church in comforting one another. We don't need battles in home. We don't need battles between family. We don't need battles between friends who have the same Father, our Father in heaven. Let's be that pillow so that the journey, so that troubles we have can be more comfortable as we go along the journey. The third one is 2 Corinthians 7:13. 2 Corinthians 7:13. By all this we were encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Third thing to build as a leadership team, as a church, in the home, in business, is be happy people. Be happy people. Paul, as a leader, sees this door open, says, I need my friend, the happy one, to be with me. Because his teeth is for smiling and eating. Friends, for us to build, we need to be happy. The world is an unhappy, lost place. But in the church, let's be happy people. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And let happiness flow, because our trust is in God, even if it's difficult. A happy church, a happy family, a happy people. We should be able to say, come into my home. Come and see when me and Maureen are around, and you will see a little bit of heaven on earth. Come into my home and you see a little bit of heaven and earth. Come into the Rock Church and you see a little bit of heaven and earth, because there's some happy people there. Yes, they're going through things. Yes, there's difficulties. But their strength is in God, and they're happy people. Because their hope is not in the situation. Their hope is in God. Happy, happy people. Let's build the church and walk through the open door by being happy. If we look at our lives, the fact that Jesus died for us, gave us the Holy Spirit, it should be enough to make us happy. Let alone all the other blessings that's stored up for the righteous. Friends, we are forgiven, released, and we are called to co-labor with Christ building the church. Surely we are happy. Just nudge somebody and say, show those teeth. Show those teeth. Let's be happy. May we have followers like Titus that are happy. Psalm 2 verse 4 actually says that God laughs and scoffs at the schemes of the enemy. I want to tell you, you know, there was a time, that this back was just so sore. My back is not in front of my back's here. But my back was so sore that I said to Maureen, me and you need to laugh. So we laughed at my back. Said, ha, 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 God can heal it. Some of your situations just go, ha, 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 Jesus, won't you come in? Because happiness and laughing is healing to the bones. And then let's go on. 2 Corinthians 7:13, the same scripture that we read. And it says here above, at the end, and his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. You see, the fourth thing is for us to lead and be in this family is to be refreshed. And Titus was one who knew how to refresh him. You know, the curtain's been torn. Me and you can enter in, not through a priest, not through a pastor, but you enter in by the blood of Jesus. The way has been made open. We need to be leaders. We need to be people that know how to refresh ourselves in Jesus Christ. We don't go to every conference. We don't rush around or find every prophet. We go to Jesus and get refreshed by him. And from that, we learn from all the other things. 2 Corinthians 7:15 and 16. And his affection for all of you is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling. I am glad I can have complete confidence in you. You see, he's talking about Titus. So number five for me is affection for people. You see, Paul wouldn't go through an open door that God opened because Titus, the one that actually cared for people, was not with him. We need to be people that care for people, have affection for people. This church is not some sausage machine where you put into the one part and you come out like all the same. You're all different. And people care for each other. Everybody is different, and everybody needs each other to care for each other. People over the years have caused us harm. Many injustices can come your way, as has come our way. But I want to tell you, friends, that if we have affection for people, we will overlook the offense. And we'll walk with one another in peace. Number six, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 8, hope this is helpful. 2 Corinthians 8, and so we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. To be good leaders and to be good people in a church, you must be a person of completed works. Because Paul didn't want somebody to come on a trip with him that doesn't complete works. That halfway through bails out. Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." And on the cross he said, "John, this is your mother." And to the mother he said, "This is your son." You see, Jesus completed the cycle of family even on the cross. And he cares about family. You see, Paul also said, "I'm a man that completes works." Because right at the end of 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "I've finished the race. Now there waits for me a crown of righteousness." You see, if you're given a task, the boss or the pastor or the husband or wife should never have to say, "Have you finished your task?" You should phone and say, "I have completed what you've given me. What else is there for me to do?" You see, Titus had such a person on his team. A person that completed things. A person of completed works. Number seven, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 16. Isn't it an interesting study this? "I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you." This is Paul speaking. So my point number seven is Titus had the same mandate and vision that Paul had. Why was Maureen able to adapt herself to me? Because we serve the same Jesus. And as a married couple, we had a similar and same vision to make much of Jesus. So Paul said, "I want to go through this door because Titus, who sees things the same way as me, who sees vision the same way as me, who's caught hold of what God has for me, I want that guy with me. I don't want a guy to come with me and divide and break down. I want the guy that'll walk a journey with me." Amen. This is helpful. The unity of purpose can only come by revelation of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying it. We can't force it. Mike and Mo can't force it. Slater and Linda can't force it. We can't force these things. But as we walk with the Holy Spirit, same mandate, same vision can come through. I'm going to share two more. 2 Corinthians 8:17. See, I just took from the Bible various things. 8:17. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. Can you understand now why we need to be followers and leaders, and why Paul wouldn't go through a door God opened because Titus wasn't with him? So my point number 8 is we must have much enthusiasm and our own initiative. But enthusiasm and initiative must go in line with the same vision as what the Rock is all about. Because if your enthusiasm and your initiative is not in line with Holy Spirit, is not a spirit of division. He brings unity. So if you're going to walk with him, these last two points will actually work as one. And I'm coming to my last point now. And in our church in Johannesburg, and he was a bit slow, but if the pastor comes to his last point, the congregation gets up and sings, "What a friend we have in Jesus. He's about to stop." So I'm coming to my last point. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. I really want to give Maureen also the opportunity after this, because I do believe she's got something really powerful in God to share with us. So I'm being very practical this morning, but 2 Corinthians 12:18. I urge Titus to go to you, and I send our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not act in the same spirit and follow the same course? My last point is, set people free. Maureen's ministry, honestly, you'll hear her just now. I'm not putting pressure on her. But she is good. She does prophetic conferences throughout South Africa, throughout the world. Teaches people on the prophetic. But I am put a block on her. I've set her free. Paul said Titus does not exploit anybody. He won't manipulate money. He won't manipulate anybody for his purposes. He sets them free. And as leaders, we got to know how to set people free so that they can be artistic, so that they can dance, so that they can be free in the gifting and the talents that God's given them. That's what Paul saw in Titus. That we don't hold on to people. That we're not so insecure. That if somebody's a little better with us than us, that we don't open the door for them. But that we can see the value and the strength of every single person. Amen. Those are, I think, 9 points from the scriptures on the life of Titus. That when Paul needed him to be a leader, he saw this man and these qualities in him, and the door was open. How many of you this morning want God just to open a door because you're happy, because you can follow vision, you can be submitted, you can set people free, you can be a pillow, you can comfort? Father, I pray, help me and Maureen to continue to walk as a Titus, and when we call to lead, that we can lead strongly. Help every single person in their situations to have qualities, not laws, but qualities, as we grow to become more like Jesus. Because Jesus had all of these in him. It cost him his life though, but we can just make a decision. Help us to make a decision today, Lord, to be good followers. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.